So we're here on Daf Kuf Yudam and Beis. Okay. Oh, we started Kuf Yudalef, actually. Yeah, my mistake. We started Kuf Yudalef, that's great. And we're up to, let's see, do we get past Tana Rabbanan? Oh, we're still up on top? We didn't even get to Tana Rabbanan yet? Just one second, give me a second, I gotta get my head on straight.
You just said it, but we didn't.
Okay.
We're gonna do
it right this. So, Kuf Yud Aleph, Omer Aleph. And. Yeah, as far as I can tell, we can start with Tana Rabbanan. Meaning, what we need before Tana Rabbanan is just to review the Mishnah. Do you see on the second line it says Nasan Asakesef? So, let's just review the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about a case where the Gazlan, instead of giving both the Kesef, which is Keren V'Chomesh, and the Asham to one Mishmeres, he split it between the two. So what happens is he gave the Kesef to the first Mishmeres, that's called Yahoyariv, and he gave the Asham to the second Mishmeres, which is called Yedaya. And the Mishnah says, in such a case, if b'di'evad he did such a thing and he split it, he gave the Asham to Yahoyariv and then he's Yotze. But now we get to the opposite case. Okay, this is more complicated. That's going to occupy our minds now in this price. What he did was he switched around the order. Okay, so again, splitting the two, I'm just reviewing what we know already. Splitting the two between one mishmeres for the money and one mishmeres for the carbon, that itself is not a posel. The problem is if he switches the order. What he did was he gave the carbon asham to Yahoyariv, and then he gave the kesef to Yedaya. So the Mishnah says the following: it depends. If the asham hasn't been brought yet, then the Asham will be brought by the Yedaya because they're on the Mishmeres now. They have the Kesef. And therefore the sequence will be maintained. Kesef first and Karban second. But if the Karban has already been brought, then that Karban has to be replaced by another Karban. And then Yedaya, the second Mishmeres that's on duty now, will bring that second Karban to replace the first one. Okay, and on this particular case, there's going to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Tana Rabbanan, so we have the Braisa. The Braisa is a little bit ambiguous. It says, Nasan Asham Liyoyariv V'Kesef Liyadaya Yachzir Kesef Eitzel Asham Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So what did he do over here? He switched around the order and he gave the Karban first to Yahoyariv and the Kesef second to Yedaya. Again, we're very unclear about this, and that's what the Gemara is going to spend some time trying to clarify as to who's exactly on duty at this particular moment. But in any event, Rabbi Yehuda says that in this case, the winner, so to speak, in this tug of war between Yahoyariv and Yedaya is going to be Yahoyariv. And that's called in the Lashon of the Nusach of Rabbi Yehuda, Yachzir Kesef Eitzel HaAshim, meaning the monies should be paid to he who is bringing the Asham. And since the Asham was delivered to Yahoyariv, the monies that were delivered to Yedaya have to be returned and passed on from Yedaya over to Yahoyariv. And then Yahoyariv has both the Kesef and can bring the Asham. So again, if we just make a note of it, because it may get complicated as we go along, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, if you have a scorecard, the winner is Yahoyariv. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say the opposite. Yachzir Asham Eitzel Kesef, that the winner here is going to be Yedaya. If the Asham was delivered to Yahoyariv, Yahoyariv now is responsible to give the Karban over to the Bnei Mishmeres Yedaya, and Yedaya now have both the Kesef and the Karba. So again, both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim agree that we need to have one Mishmeres that's in charge of both receiving the money and bringing the Asham. The question is, which of the two wins out if the Asham was delivered first to Yehoyariv and the Kesef second to Yedaya, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Yehoyariv wins the game because they started this process, let's assume. They were the first ones to get the Asham, even though at that point they can't be makriv of the Asham, but they got the Asham. They now make a kinyan, so to speak, on all the schuyos and on all the rights, including those of Kesef. Yedaya is going to have to cough up the money and give it to Yehoyariv, whereas the Chachamim are of the opinion, no, it's the second Mishmeres, Yedaya's Mishmeres, that wins in this tug of war, and therefore the Asham will have to be forked over from Yehoyariv over to Yedaya. And now the Gemara asks, Heichidami, what's the case? Ilema, if you're going to tell me that the case is what? This is before we get to Rava. If the case is the Yohiv Le Asham Le Yehoyariv, Bimishmarto De Yehoyariv, Vakesef De Yedaya, Bimishmarto De Yedaya, in such a case, if the carbon hasn't been brought, the Gemara assumes that lesman de polig, this would not be a machlokas. If each mishmeres received one of the two elements during the course of its mishmeres, they are the kohanim on duty, then they were zocha on that which they were zocha. The Gemara refuses to see an automatic kinyan from, or schus I should call it, from one to the other, meaning even though Yehoyariv was zocha in the asham, everybody agrees. That means even the Chacham would agree that Yedaya has no right to take or usurp the rights of Yehoyariv to the Karban, because Yehoyariv was on the Mishmeres.
One thing, the two Mishmeres are not there at the same time.
Correct.
So Yedaya had the Yehoyariv had the Asham.
Right.
Their Mishmeres is over. Did they makriv it or not?
Oh, so what happens to a carbon that's left over after Mishmeres, you know, terminates, they sign out? It goes over to the next Mishmeres.
Okay, so if they did it, it's shechted, it's gone. And if they didn't shechted it, then it goes over. So I don't see the question.
Right, but what we're saying is that wait, let's read the Gemara, because I don't know if I finished the Gemara yet. Ze zocha b'shalo, v'ze zocha b'shalo. In other words, whereas Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that Yehoyariv has rights to collect the Kesef, right? We said, because he came first, we'll have to see the Gemara as it develops, but it's much more complicated than that. But in this case, since the Mishmeres of Yedaya was indeed on duty when they received the Kesef, even Rabbi Yehuda would have to agree, says the Gemara, that we cannot remove Yedaya from the Kesef. I'll read to you. He says the following. He says, Kushas HaGemara, he's summarizing Rashi, Kushas HaGemara hi al Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that we, at this point, before Rava steps onto the platform, we don't know how to interpret Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because how could Rabbi Yehuda say that the monies that were given over to Yedaya have to be coughed up and transferred over to Yehoyariv? Yedaya had rights to receive that money because they were on duty. Ein kushas hagmara al das chacham. However, if you flip it around, says Rashi, and you want to say that maybe we should penalize according to chacham in the bnei Yehoyariv, the Gemara thinks that that's not a kash at all. Why? Kevon sheheim beemes nagu shalok kedin b'kach shekiblus ha'ashem lefnei shekiblus ha'keskemu v'mishnah mem shegemara. He says, move on madua sovrim chachamim sheyitnu b'nei Yehoyariv es ha'ashem lebnei Yedaya. So let's go, in the light of this statement, let's go over the Gemara one more time. The Gemara says the following, that in the case where the Asham was delivered over to Yehoyariv during their Mishmeres, and the kesef was given over to the Bnei Yedaya during their mishmeres. So the Gemara says, Zeh zocha b'shalo v'zeh zocha b'shalo. So Rashi has the following problem. He says, I don't understand. The Bnei Yoyariv are illegally usurping the rights of the Bnei Yedaya. Why is that so? Because there's no right to the Asham until the Kesef is delivered. And the Chachamim, who maintain in the Braisa that in the tug of war between the first Mishmeres, that's Yoyariv, and the second Mishmeres, Yedaya, who wins out? The Bnei Yedaya. Rashi says, why did the Bnei Yedaya win out? Because the Bnei Yoyariv overstepped their bounds. What does that mean? They illegally usurped the rights of the Bnei Yedaya, and that's because the Asham could only come after the Kesef. And since the Kesef was not delivered to the Bnei Yoyariv, they have no rights to the Asham. So if I understand correctly, that means that clearly the Gemara doesn't even question that in this case, is everybody should agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, Yachzir Ha'asham Eitzel HaKesef. And why is that? Because the Bnei Yoyariv were illegally usurping the rights of the Bnei Yedaya. And now the Gemara asks Akasha on Rabbi Yehuda. According to you, Rabbi Yehuda, why is it that in this case we say that, why, Bishleim, according to the Chachamim, we're going to say that in this case the Bnei Yoyariv will have to what? We'll have to fork over the Asham and transmit over to the Bnei Yedaya. That makes sense according to the Chachamim, because the Chachamim are unwilling to justify Yoyariv for accepting the Karban before the money was delivered. So that's clear. Then we have to ask Akasha here on Rabbi Yehuda. If that's be the case, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't understand how Rabbi Yehuda could possibly justify that we're going to penalize the Bnei Yedaya, and they're going to have to fork over the money to the Bnei Yoyariv. That doesn't make any sense. The Bnei Yedaya, they didn't do anything wrong. There was nothing illegal because they received the Kesef legally. Right? Because the first thing that has to be delivered to the Mishmeres is the Kesef. That's exactly what Yoyariv did. So then certainly Rabbi Yehuda would have to agree in this case. That's the Gemara's logic. We'll come back to this Gemara again a second time, but just on the first round. The Gemara's logic is that there's no way, no how that Rabbi Yehuda could penalize the Bnei Yehoyada, because certainly if anyone should be penalized here, it should be the Bnei Yoyariv, even though they were on the Mishmeres, they were on duty, but then nevertheless they cannot accept the Karman before the Kesef is brought. So therefore the Gemara assumes that so far, according to the Metzius that we have in front of us, everybody's going to agree that the Karban will be brought by the Bnei Yedaya after the Karban is, if the Karban wasn't brought yet, if it was, you'll have to replace it, but in any event, the second Karban will have to be brought by the Mishmeres that's on duty. I think, Mitch, that was your point. Which Mishmeres is on?
Who's on duty?
If
is still there, then...
Well, they're holding on to the Karban, but now there's a new Mishmeres that took over. That's the Bnei Yedaya. So the Gemara thinks clearly in such a case, the one that's going to be penalized here is the Bnei Yehoyariv. They're going to have to fork over the Karban over to the Bnei Yedaya, because the Bnei Yedaya did nothing wrong insofar as they accepted the Kesef while they were on duty. Amar Rava, so what then is the Machlokas Shin Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Hachamayaskinan. The Yoiv Asham Li Yehoyariv Bimishmarto Di Yehoyariv. The Karban, and so far it's identical to what we said until now, was given to Yehoyariv during the period of Yehoyariv's on duty. Vekesef Li Yedaya, and before the Yehoyariv signed out and turned in their temporary resignation until they get to Mishmeres half a year later. The money was delivered Tiyadaya b'mishmarta diyo yoriv. So now Rav Osai asks you the question, who seems to have done something illegal now?
Yedaya.
Oh, so Rav Yehuda Savar. Now we can begin to understand the logic of Rav Yehuda. Kevan dilav mishmeres diyadaya hi liyadaya kansin and le, we should impose a penalty on the mishmeres of Yedaya. They had no right to usurp the mishmeres of Yehoyariv and receive the kesef before they're on duty, and therefore they have to pass on the kesef to the mishmeres of Yehoyariv. Hilkach Yasir Kesef Eitzel Asham. Now we go back to the language of Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa. Yasir Kesef Eitzel Asham. And now Yehoyariv will have received the Kesef and they can now be Makriv the Karbon Asham. Okay, now he has a footnote here again summarizing Rashi. But you know what? I'm going to hold one finger on the footnote here because I just want to finish up. V'rabbanan Savri, why would the Rabbanan impose a penalty on Yehoyariv? They didn't do anything wrong. Oh, shelo kidin hu avud. There was an illegal action here, even on the part of the Bnei Yehoyariv. And why is that? Because Bnei Yehoyariv Kiblu Asham Mekame Kesef. Now watch what's going on over here. The Chacham is saying that the sequence here of Kesef first and Karban second is not only in terms of when the Karban is brought, but even in terms of the act of Nesina, the very act of passing on the money and the Asham over to the hands of the Kohen. And if the money's were passed on first, that's great. But if the monies were not passed on first, but rather the Asham, the Karm, was passed on first, at that point, Yehoyariv had no right to accept the Asham. Hilkach, therefore, say the Chachamim, Lididhu Kansinan Lahu, we're going to impose a penalty on the Bnei Mishmeres Yehoyariv, V'yachzor Asham Eitzel Kesef. And the Asham now, since it was handed over first, which is illegal, will now have to follow the Kesef. Now, the Bnei Yehoyariv now are not able to bring the Karban Asham. Who's the old, right? And then their Mishmeres terminates, and who takes over for them is the Mishmeres of Yedaya. So now the Asham is going to be passed on from the hands of the Yehoyariv Mishmeres and over on to the hands of the Yedaya Mishmeres. But Rabbi Yehuda is not happy with that because Rabbi Yehuda thinks that Yehoyariv, since they were on duty, they are allowed to collect the money. I'm sorry, they are allowed to receive the Karmon, and Yedaya had no right to receive the Kesef since they weren't on duty. So again, it seems the following, that switching around the order, the sequence, is not an automatic psul, so to speak. It doesn't automatically invalidate. Because again, if both the Asham and the Kesef were given out of order but to the right Mishmeres, correct? Then everybody agrees that in such a case we're going to penalize Yehoyariv. Why? Because Yehoyariv had no right to accept the Asham in its time. Yedaya on their part didn't do anything wrong. Adarabah, they accept the Kesef during their Mishmeres. And therefore, everybody would agree that the Asham goes with the Kesef, if you follow me. The Kesef is Gorer, the Asham. And now Yehoyariv would have to turn over the Karban Asham over to the Bnei Yehoyariv. But if the Bnei Yehoyariv, but if the Bnei Yedaya did something illegal from Rabbi Yehuda's perspective, which means that they accepted the monies before they were on duty, at that point we're going to say is Yachzer HaKesef Eitzel Asham, just the opposite. Instead of saying that the Asham follows the Kesef is going to have to follow the Asham. Now, I don't know what would be, I think, Mitch, that was your question before, if by the time we sorted this all out, Yehoyariv had terminated their Mishmeres. You know, then we're in a bind over here, because even though the Yachzer HaKesef Eitzel HaAsham, but the Asham can't be brought, and now it's to be brought by the Bnei Yo Yoriv. So let's just assume, until we know otherwise, and again we have to read the Rashi here, that the penalty of Rabbi Yehuda penalizing the Bnei Yoriv for receiving the money when they weren't on duty, that penalty is not going to be imposed in a way that would undermine the Hakrovas HaKarban. Meaning, it's nice if we can guarantee that the kesef goes back to Yoriv and they'll be able to be marked with the Karban and everything fits in beautifully with the sequence, that's fine. And then in such a case, you know, we're going to penalize Yoda for accepting the kesef when it was prematurely before their mishmeres, and that's fine. Again, it could be, I don't know, you know, I hope I'm not misleading anybody, that if the time has passed until we figure this all out, and now the mishmeres of Yoriv has been long terminated, then maybe we have no choice, and we're going to have to bring the carbon with the mishmeres that's on duty. Alternatively, maybe in order to implement Rabbi Yehuda's penalty, we're going to have to wait for the next mishmeres. I don't know. But here I have so that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say, wait a minute, we have a logic to impose a penalty on Yoriv. Why? Because even though Yoriv, when they accepted the Asham, they were on the Mishmeres, nevertheless, they still have no right to accept the Karman. The fact that Yediah accepted the money prematurely, that doesn't undermine the halacha that Yachzir HaOshem makes like Kesef, because we're going to impose a penalty on Yo Yariv. And, you know, it's almost like, again, don't take me literally here, but Kol HaKodim Zacha, whoever does the first Avera, they're going to be punished. Even though two wrongs don't make a right. But the first one who violated the law here, according to the Chachamim, was Yo Yariv. They overstepped their bounds by accepting the Asham before the Kesef. And therefore they deserve the penalty. Not that Yediah was such tzaddikim. The Chacham have to admit that Yediah also violated a certain rule here by accepting the kesef before their mishmeres began. So Rashi says the following, and you can take a look. This Rashi is not here, it's elsewhere, but just to summarize, he says the following. In our Mishnah, we have to sort of square our Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah says that if the Asham was given to the Mishmeres Yehoyarov, and at that point they accepted the Asham, the Kesef was given to the Mishmeres of Yediah, is in that case, says Rashi, Mode Rabbi Yehuda, Sheyesh liknos es mishmeres yoyariv v'nosena osham l'mishmeres yedaya kevin shemishmeres yoyariv naga shalo kiddin b'kach shekiblas ha'osham lifnei ha'kesef. So again, in a case where no one was accepting anything illegally, so to speak, I'll explain what I mean. In other words, no one was Kilu presenting themselves as, we are on duty, we are the Mishmeres, and if we're going to accept either the Asham or the Kesef, even though in truth they weren't on the Mishmeres. Then in such a case, if the Asham was given to Yoriv during their Mishmeres, and the Kesef was given to Yediah during their Mishmeres, in such a case, even though the sequence was changed, then the Mishnah says that because of the sequence change, we're going to have to force Yoriv to transfer the Karban, the Asham, over to Yediah. Okay, then, and Mitch says very well, because Yediah is now on duty and nobody did anything terrible. Each one accepted something during its own Mishmeres. Where does Rabbi Yehuda said it, make his statement? Where does he qualify the Mishnah? He says the Mishnah, Mamed Devar Murim, is when nobody violated the law. Only the sequence was messed up. And we can rectify that by passing the Asham over to the one who's holding on to the Kesef, in this case, the Bnei Yediah, and they're on duty. However, if somebody violated the law and overstepped his bounds, namely Yediah accepted the Kesef, Shalo b'mishmarto, then in such a case, we're going to force Bnei Yediah as a Knas to fork over that kesef to the Bnei Yoriv because they, the Bnei Yedaya, had no right to receive that kesef if they weren't the Bnei Mishmeres. If they were already on duty, then Rabbi Yehuda agrees to have Mishnah that since they didn't violate anything, just the sequence is the problem. Then we have a principle that the Asham is Choser Eitzel HaKesef because the Kesef has to come before the Asham. The Chiddush of the Chachamim is that even though the Bnei Yedaya violated a rule here by accepting the Kesef when they weren't on the Mishmeres, nevertheless, we're going to penalize Yoyariv for something else. Despite the fact that Yoyariv is on duty, that doesn't give them a carte blanche, heted, to receive all karbanos. They can receive any karban as long as the preconditions for that karban have been fulfilled. But in this case of Gezel Ager, the precondition for the karban is Kesef. And the karban, if it's brought before the kesef, is pasul. Since the Bnei Yoyarov see the gazlan, and he's just bringing them an aisle for the karban ashav, and he has no money in his pocket, then they have to say, wait, hold on a minute, buddy. We can't accept your karban. You know, come back tomorrow when you have, you know, we're still on duty for another 13 days. Come back in the next 13 days with your money. And for whatever reason, if that didn't happen, and the Gazlan instead delivered the money to the Bnei Yoyada, then in such a case, so the Chachamim say, even though the Bnei Yoyada were not legally in the right, because they weren't on duty yet, but nevertheless, there's a penalty here imposed on the Bnei Yoyariv, because they should have immediately repelled the Gazlan and said to him, come back within the next 13 days, if you like, with the Kesef. Instead, what they did, Yoyariv, they overstepped their bounds and received the Karban. That's what I was able to get out of this Gemara. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Omar Rebbe. Rebbe says, L'divrei Rebbe Yehuda, according to the logic of Rebbe Yehuda, that if the Asham was given to the Mishmeres Yoyariv, and the Bnei Yedaya accepted the kesef prematurely, then we impose a knas on the Bnei Yedaya. Im kadmu Bnei Yehoyariv vikrivu es ha'asham. If before the money was received by the Bnei Yedaya, Bnei Yehoyariv immediately jumping the gun brought the karban, that karban asham which was brought before the kesef was delivered is not a fulfillment of the chiyuv of the gazlan as far as the karban is concerned, as we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud. Is in such a case, yachzar v'yavi asham acher. Now the gazlan has to replace this asham with a second asham, but who's going to be makriv that second asham? V'akrivu b'nei Yedaya. In such a case, the Bnei Yedaya are holding on to the Kesef, and therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, despite the fact that he holds, in general, we impose a penalty on the Bnei Yedaya, because the Bnei Yedaya received the Kesef before they were on the Mishmeres. Nevertheless, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that's only a case where Bnei Yehoyariv are still holding on to the Karban. That's when we can impose logically a penalty on the Bnei Yedaya, according to Rabbi Yehuda, for preempting and accepting the kesef before they were on duty. But in this case, if the asham is no longer available because it was already slaughtered and brought on the mizbeach, and it was not l'shem chova for the gazlan, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the only possibility of fulfilling the chiyuv karban in this case is by delivering the karban to the Bnei Yedaya. So let's read the Gemara again. Im kadmu Bnei Yoyariv v'ikrivu es ha'asham, yachzar v'yavi asham acher v'yakrivu Bnei Yedaya. In other words, it turns out like this, that according to Rebbe's qualification of Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that the Bnei Yoyada are worthy of a knas, they violated by illegally usurping and taking the money prematurely, that doesn't ipso facto knock them out of the ballpark. On the contrary, they're very they're still very much in the ballpark. They still very much have rights to this carbon agir. If the Bnei Yoyarov went ahead and not only did they receive the karman, but they had insult to injury, they were makriv the karman in such a way that now the gazlan has to bring another karman, then even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that there's no knas on the Bnei Yedaya. On the contrary, it's the knas is really more appropriate for the Bnei Yoyariv. Vizachu alolu and Bnei Yoyariv bamesha biyodam. Now, this
not
part
of really knas. I mean, they got the yasham.
Oh, but now I have to ask you the following question. At this point, I don't understand the Gemara, and Baruch Hashem, I'm on good footing because the Gemara doesn't understand the Gemara. So, but let me explain to you why this Gemara makes no sense at this point. The first karban is meaningless. In other words, when the Bnei Mishmeres bring a karban, they have rights to the karban, as we discussed at great length with regard to the basar karban, regard to the ara basar. But that's only if the karban is a karban kosher. But here the carbon is meaningless. It's completely possible. That's what I think the Gemara is asking here. Amri means the Bnei Yeshiva asked the question, Lamai Chazin, are you telling me that Bnei Yoyarov won the game over here, and at least they get the first Asham? Frank, the Gemara, Lamai Chazin, what is that Asham worth? Asham Pasul. And if they and why is it possible again? Let's go over this, because the Mishnah already established back on Kuf Yud that if the carbon was brought before the monies were delivered, that carbon is possible. So what does it mean? Zachu halalu bamesha biyadam. Amar Rava. So Rava says the carbon is not possible lagamri. There are tzvei dinim here. It's lioro. Okay, so now we have that. It works like this. There are two dinim in a carbon. Okay, one din is that the carbon should be ola l'shem bailim l'chova. And then there's another din that the carbon itself is kosher. Now, if let's say, for example, the kohen is makir of the carbon shalol l'shma. I'll just give you an example. Shalol l'shma means shalol l'shem abaylim. So in such a case, the carbon is kosher. We'll see exactly what that means. But it's not ol l'shem chova. And the baylim are going to have to bring a replacement carbon. Question whether they could sue the Kohen for having the wrong kavana. That's a serious issue in Ezekiel. But what does it mean that the carbon is kosher? And just to give you the nimshal here, as far as our sugya is concerned, if the Bnei Yoyariv were makriv the carbon asham before the kesef was delivered, that carbon per se is kosher. What do I mean? There was a kavana l'shem carbon. And the Zrika was done l'shem karba. There was no Machsheves Pigul, Le'achar Zman, there was no Machsheves Tumah. Everything was fine. Just the one Machsheva that they didn't have is l'shem Bailam, or in this case it can't be l'shem Bailam because the Bailam haven't yet paid the Kesef. So what the Gemara now is establishing, and we'll see how this pans out, halach l'maisa, that the carbon itself is kosher, but it's not ol l'shem Bailam. So as far as the rights of the Bailim are concerned, who is Zocha in those rights in the Karman, then since the Bailim, as far as the first Karman are concerned, are out in the cold, that first Karman is meaningless for the Bailim. The second Karman will be delivered by the Bnei Yoyada. Why is that? Because now the Chiv of the Gazlan is at its early stage. You know, it's back to square one. And if it's back, now, again, Yoyariv brought a carbon, and we'll see that the carbon itself is kosher, it's not ol l'shem bailim, and we're going to see that afkamin in just a minute. That's as far as Yoyariv is concerned, but vis-a-vis the carbon, oshel l'shem chovas gezel ager, Yoyariv are completely out of line over here, because as the Bnei Mishmeres, they didn't bring the carbon on behalf of the Gazlan. The Gazlan is going to have to bring a replacement carbon. So that carbon will be brought by the Bnei Yedaya. Oh, but nevertheless, as far as the first carbon is concerned, the Brice of Rebbe says, Zahu. What does it mean, Zachu? Amar Rav Ali Oro. In other words, even though the basar is asur b'achila, why is the basar asur b'achila? Because it's not olah l'shem bailim. Again, there are two dinim in karbon, but nevertheless, the R is mutar b'ana. So again, let's go back to our paradigm case of a karbon that was shechted with a machshavas shalol l'shem bailim. It doesn't passel the karbon completely. It only passels the karbon as far as achila is concerned. Why? Let me explain. Because the achila is what engenders the kaparas karbon. And in this case, the karbon doesn't have the power to engender a kaparas achila because there's no bailam on the karbon. Why? Because the kavana was shalol l'shem bailam. But however, the heft of the karbon itself, as far as the R is concerned, is mutar b'ana. And this is based, as Tosas quotes here, Omar, see Tos on the top of the page, a sugyan zvachim. And the sugyan zvachim says that if the psul of the karma was after zrika, then the R is mutar b'ana. Even though the carbon is posul, in this case, for example, let's say the monies were given after the zrika, then the carbon now becomes posul. The R is only asur b'ana if there was a psul in the karbon before the zrika. So Tosus says, what's our case? Why is it that the R in our case is mutar b'ana? After all, there was already a psul before zrika. The money hadn't been delivered. Says Tosus, kan, this case is different. Why? Shekrivu kodem shenitan kesef and nifsal kodem ashchita. Tosus says a wild conclusion here that we didn't know. We thought that anything before Zrika would automatically passel the carbon and the R becomes also by no. Says Tosus, no, it depends. If the psul was chal after Shechita but before Zrika, then anything now the ganze carbon is completely possible. And not only is the basar neser v'achila, but even the R is neser b'ana. You can't make leather pocketbooks out of the hide. But if, on the other hand, the carbon became possible before the Shechita, then, at least as far as the R is concerned, the Gemara derives that the R becomes mutar b'ana. Now here, in our case, the kesef was not delivered even before the shechita. So the very psul in the karbon, as far as Ol L'shem Bailim, was chal even before shechita. It means that according to Tosfos, shechita becomes the beginning of the process of zrika. Again, the kaparas karbon starts with shechita, and it ends in zrika. If there was a psul between Shechita and Zrika, well, that certainly passes the karva, but it doesn't ask the karva by anah. Unless the psul was chal. I'm sorry, what did I say? What I meant to say is the following. If the psul in the karva was after the Shechita but before the Zrika, then not only is that Zrika possul and the entire karva is possul, but even the R becomes Nesar by anah. Why? Because the karma was kosher at the time of the shechita and now became pasul before the zrika. But if the problem in the karbon existed even before the shechita, then although the karbon is pasul because there was a psul after shechita and there was a psul but even before shechita, but I'm saying before the zrika, therefore the zrika cannot be mechaper and create a kaparas carbon on behalf of the bailim. In such a case, although the basar carbon is asur b'anah, but nevertheless the R is mutar b'anah. But again, b'medvar mamurim, if that psul existed, preempted even the shechita. If it preempted the shechita, then we have halacha that shechita and the subsequent zrika is able to be matir the R. Behano. So again, those are the two dinim. In the footnote here, he quotes a Ravid, and the Ravid says that Rebbe holds like Reb Chanina Skan Kohanim, this is a sugi at the end of the first parak of Psachim, that Ein Ha'or Yotze Lebeis Hasrefa. Okay, I don't know enough about Reb Chanina Ben Skan Kohanim. Did you ever hear of it? Anybody who learns the first parak of Psachim will know that when they get to Daf Yudalid or Daf Tezvav, that's where we stop the first parak and we jump to the second parak. I don't think there's a yeshiva in the whole world that learns the end of the first parak. That's called Rav Chanina Skan Kohen. You have to know all of Hilchas Tuma Vitara in order to attack that. So let's just go over. According to the final conclusion of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if the Bnei Yehoyariv were makriv the Osham before the money was received, and the Gazlan now has to bring a replacement Osham, then the Bnei Yehoyariv will only be zocha in the R, in the skins, the hides of the first carbon Osham. The Gemara does not clarify what the Chachamim who argue on Rabbi Yehuda would say in such a case. And again, this is going to be a whole issue in the Rishonim, the Ravid is of the opinion that according to Chachamim, the Bnei Yehoyariv should have actually passed on the Asham to Yedaiah, right? You remember that? And that's true even if the Asham is still intact and it hasn't been brought yet. And even if the Bnei Yedaiah accepted the money before they were on duty, therefore, lo ho ilu klum, says the Ravid, but bekasha kadmu vikrivu. The Chachamim want to penalize Bnei Yehoyariv not only for receiving the Karban Asham, but an extra penalty for being makriv the Karban Asham. Because look what they did. If they received the Karban Asham prematurely, okay, we'll penalize them. The Asham is still alive and well, and they're forced to transfer the Asham back to the over to the Yehoyariv. Fine. But how far are you going to go if they went ahead and the Bnei Yehoyariv and they were actually makriv the carbon, and now they were mafsid the carbon for the Gazlan? I mean, he spent a good deal of money on this carbon. Now he has to bring a replacement carbon. So the Ravid says, in such a case, the penalty would be twofold. Not only do they have to give up their rights to the carbon, but they gain absolutely no rights from the carbon that they brought. And therefore, they're also even in the R. So again, it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda that Rebbe's statement is accurate here, that according to Rebbe, the Asham remains in the hands of the Bnei Yehoyariv, correct? And the monies of the Bnei Yehoyada have to be delivered to Bnei Yehoyariv. In that case, if the Bnei Yehoyariv had rights to get the money and therefore bring the carbon after the money, if they went ahead and they shechted the carbon and they brought the carbon before they got the money, then at least they are zoche in the R. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Amar Rebbe, L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kayam Asham, if the Bnei Yehoyariv received the Asham prematurely, but they hadn't yet been makriv the carbon, is Yachzir Asham Eitzel Kesef. Now this is against everything we've seen until now. We thought that the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that as long as the carbon is still alive, the principle is Yachzar, just get Rabbi Yehuda's language, Yachzar Kesef Eitzel Asham. And now he's saying, Yachzar Asham Eitzel Kesef. Frekta Gemara, I don't understand what Rebbe's talking about. Veha, isn't it true that Rabbi Yehuda, is of the opinion that Yachzar Kesef Eitzel Asham Isle, that's his opinion. Says the Gemara, you know what Rebbe is talking about? Hokamai Askinon, what's the exact case? Kigon did Nafak Mishmarto di Yehoyariv. This is a case that we touched upon earlier. We're trying to guess what the answer would be in this case. So what happened is the period of service of Yehoyariv terminated. Velo tavu. And what happened was that in such a case, the Mishmeres of Yedaiah. Just one second, I lost it.
So
who has rights now? Who has rights now to the carbon? Just one second. According to Rabbi Yehuda, is Yachzer Kesef Eitzel Ha'asham. In other words, the Bnei Yedaya, because they accepted the Kesef prematurely, they have to give the Kesef back to the Bnei Yo Yariv. So why does Rebbe say that according to Rebbe Yehuda, the Mishmeres Yariv has to deliver the Asham to the Bnei Yedaya? The answer is that we're talking about a case of Nafak Mishmarto Diyo Yariv, that the Mishmeres of Yo Yariv terminated. Just 1 second. So what should be the din? Just give me a second, sorry. According to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Yo Yariv have rights to bring this karbon and to retrieve the kesef from Bnei Yada. But now the Mishmeres of Yo Yariv terminated. Now what should happen when the what, Mitch? What happens?
They can't bring the karbon.
Oh, okay. So what should happen? What should
so
be the deal at this
the
case?
Karbon, so they have to go the opposite way.
Yeah, that I understand, but what's below Tavo? That's I don't understand.
That Yoriv should have, during its Mishmeres, while they had the animal, gone over to Yedaya and say, give us the money. But they didn't do it. And now the Mishmeres is over, so it's too late.
Wait a minute, Lo Tavo is referring to Yedaya?
Yoriv.
Or to Yoriv?
Yoriv. They didn't go over to Yedaya and ask him for the money back. Our money. You don't deserve that money. Give it to us. And they didn't do it. And now the Mishmeres is over, and they got the karma.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. I'm trying to.
I'm only quoting Steinsaltz.
Yeah, you're quoting Steinsaltz. Yeah. Okay. Let's just see if Rashi, by any chance, says anything. Okay, Gon did Nafik Mishmarto. Okay, he doesn't have the Oyori. Fine. Dehani Udahani. Okay, we'll come back to this in just a second. Lo tavu b'nei Yeho Yariv. Aha. Yeah, you're right. Lo tavu, Rashi says, because I got messed up here. B'nei Yeho Yariv. Lo tavu b'nei Yeho Yariv. Esa kesef b'mishmartam. V'lo b'nei Yedaya es ha'asham b'mishmartam.
Rashi doesn't have the Yo Yariv in his gersa. He's a whole different case.
But wait a minute. When you read the word Lo Tavu, leave out Steinsaltz. I'm talking to Mitch Wolf. If Steinsaltz helps you, you can say it in your own name. You know.
Right.
But I'm just saying the words Lo Tavu mean who the b'nei Yo Yariv, correct?
Right.
Okay. So that Rashi does say that. Am I right?
But Rashi says that the mishmeres of both of them is over now. He's given the whole
correct.
Case.
Dahani udahani.
Dahani udahani.
So I don't know. Maybe this Rashi. So maybe this Rashi is premature. So I never, you know, I jumped the gun here because I see the Gemara later on is going to again use the same words of Kigon Dinofik Mishmartam. So this Rashi is premature. So this Rashi really doesn't bear on our Gemara right now. So I'm going to go back to the drawing board here, if you don't mind, just for a minute, on those two words, the Lo Tavo. The Lo Tavo. So again, I know that you said Lo Tavo means the Bnei Yo Yariv aren't Toveya. I just want to give me a minute to clear my brain because I'm not sure that's how you have to read the Gemara. I don't want to argue with the great rabbi there, but I just have to figure it out for myself, if you know what I mean. Lo Tavo, just 1 second. Okay, good. Now I got it. Yeah, you're right. You were right. I just had to work it out of my mind. So the Bnei Yo Yariv have rights, Lechor, at this point, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to collect the money back from the Bnei Yedaya. Because again, we're going to penalize, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Bnei Yedaya. But instead, they were quiet, and they didn't do so. For Hakam Mashmon, this is what Rebbe wants to teach us. That in such a case that the Bnei Yo Yariv did not exercise their rights and put in a claim, again, I don't know where this claim goes, whether it goes to Bezdin or wherever, to return, to receive and retrieve the kesef that was come from the Bnei Yedaya, correct? Now, how long of a time period do they have until they put forth, until they have the rights to put forth their claim, until their mishmeres ends, right? Because once the mishmeres ends, that they can't benefit in any way from this karmon. Oh, says Rebbe, dachule achilu gabayhu. this constitutes a mechila from the part of the Bnei Yehoyariv on the money that was given to the Bnei Yedaya. And now the Bnei Yedaya have the money. We're going to have to now pass on the Asham, because the only Mishmeres on duty is the Bnei Yedaya, and they'll bring the carb. Okay, now we get to the case where both of them are mochel. Okay, Tanya, Idach, we have another price. Omer Rebbe, Lediv Rebbe Yehuda, Imkayam HaAsham. Right, so far it's the same exact case that we had before. The Asham hasn't been brought yet. Yachzar Kesef Eitzel Asham. So that sounds exactly like we've been saying until now. It's explicit in the Braisa that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to penalize the Bnei Yedaya for accepting the karbon. I'm sorry, for accepting the money. And therefore the money has to be transferred back to the Bnei Yehoyariv. It's affecting Gemara Pshita. Why is Rebbe repeating what we already know? Oh. Right, Hachi Yisle notes, that's exactly what it says in the Braisa. So the Gemara answers, Hachamai Askinon, what's the Chiddush of Rebbe Kigon in the case? The Nafik Mishmartam Dahani Udahani. Okay, that's what we saw in Rashi. And Rashi may have a different gear, so I'm not sure, but the bottom line is, he fills in what we have already in our text. Both the Mishmeres of Yoyoriv, as well as the Mishmeres of Yedaya, have terminated. And in such a case, what we have now is two groups of Kohanim, if you will, two units. One is holding on, that's the Bnei Yoyarif to the Karmon, to the Asham. The other, the Bnei Yedai, is holding on to the Kesef. And Lechora, I don't know what to do in this case, because none of them are presently, currently on duty. Vilo Tavu, and here's where Rashi adds,
Neither one,
Zed, right? You know, the Bnei Yoyarif could have demanded the Kesef from the Bnei Yedai. The Bnei Yedai could have demanded the Asham from the Bnei Yoyariv. Because we just finished saying that if the Bnei Yoyariv did not demand the Kesef and now their Mishmar had terminated, now the ball is in the court of the Bnei Yedai, but they were Mochel as well. So Mao detain, if not for Rebbe, what would my logic compel me to conclude here? Achuli Gabi Hadadi. There's a mutual reciprocal mechila in both directions. Now, in such a case, what happens? Okay, so here he has a note here that the Shita Mekubetza says in the name of the Rama. I don't know who's going to disagree with this. We'll see that the Rama is of the opinion that in such a case where there's a mutual mechila, then everything remains as is. Now again, I don't know what that means. I can understand it halfway. It means that the money is pocketed by the Bnei Yedaya. That much I can understand. There was a mechila vis-a-vis the Bnei Yedaya. They now could own the money. What I don't understand is, what does it mean that the Asham is now in the hands of the Mishmeres of Yoyariv? And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to say something that's absolutely crazy. It means that 6 months from now, if the animal hopefully is still alive and well, it hasn't been blemished, the Bnei Yoyariv will bring that karma. And that's the Havamina. In other words, everything is frozen, as is, in the Havamina. Kamashmalan comes along Rebbe, and he says, no. The Amrinan, in such a case, came into Lotavi, since even the Bnei Yedaya in this case, we're not Tovei the Asham, is we go back to the original din of Rabbi Yehuda, which means that we're going to penalize the Bnei Yedaya. Because again, they had no right to accept the Kesef prematurely. And even though the Mishmeres of Yehoyariv is now terminated, but nevertheless, they haven't forfeited their rights to bring the karbon. They only forfeit their rights to bring the karbon if Yedaya has rights to bring the karbon because of the kesef. But in such a case, you know, Yedaya is out of the picture because their mishmer is terminated. Is therefore lahadru bereisha. Okay, what does this mean, lahadru bereisha? So we'll look at Rashi Kamashma. The kevan de bnei Yedaya nami lo tovu li asham b'mishmartam yachzar kesef etzel asham. V'yakrivu b'nei Yehoyariv kishayachzor Shabbos mishmaratam. Oh, we'll wait another 6 months because every mishmaris, right, there were 24 mishmaros, and every mishmaris gets 2 weeks, and then there were 2 weeks that anybody could serve on it. Fine. So that's the karban. So who's going to actually bring this karban to the b'nei Yehoyariv? What I'm a little bit confused about here is, L'chore, no, I'm not confused. The money actually is pocketed by the B'nai Yedaya because the B'nai Yoyoriv were Mochel. They have up to the end of their Mishmeres to be Mochel. So let me just make sure that there's no the no one says
they,
the opposite.
How can they bring the Korban if they didn't have?
Well, again, the Korban could be brought even if the Kesef is in the hands of someone else, as long as the Kesef was paid up. Mm-hmm. Meaning the Kesef is a precondition for the Gazlan to have the to be able to avail himself of the kaparas ha'osham.
It's interesting. Steinsaltz disagrees with that.
He says the opposite.
La'avin bereisha sheyachzir lechatzila v'yachzor hakesef etz ha'osham.
That's what he says. Okay.
So he disagrees.
Okay. He must be quoting. You know who he's quoting? Does he tell you who he's quoting here?
No.
So in the footnote, he says this in the name of the Mishnah Melech. Okay, so that's interesting. Okay, next, we learned in the Mishnah that if a person brings the Hamevi Gzelo Ad Shelo Hevi Ashamo Yotza, right, that if, just 1 second, sorry, just have to, there's just so much here. Got to go back to the Mishnah for a second. Just want to make sure I don't make any mistakes here because you guys are very sharp here. I can't make any mistakes. Oh, so where is the Mishnah? It's back on Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see where it is. Okay. I'm looking for the part of the Mishnah of Mevi Gzelo Achalo Hevi Ashav at the very end of the Mishnah, okay? Hamevi Gzelo Ad Shelo. Just 1 second, I just want to make sure I have this clause. So Gzelo is a reference, Rashi says, to Karen V. Asham, and he hasn't yet brought the Asham, and therefore, even if he gave the Kesef to Yehoyariv and then the Oshem to Yedaya, then every Mishmeres is Zoche in whatever it's Zoche. The first Mishmeres is Zoche, that's Yehoyariv in the money, and the second Mishmeres Yedaya is Zoche in the Oshem. But then the Mishnah says Hevi Ashamo Achalo Hevi Gzelo, if on the other end the Korban Oshem was brought first before the Keren Chomish was paid up, Lo Yotza Minani Bili. So the Gemara now, back on Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, wants to know, where do we know this from? And the Gemara says that Amar Rava, the Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, Ha'oshav Amushav Lashem LaKohen. And then it says, Milvad El HaKippurim Asher Yechaper Bo Olav. So the focus now, the emphasis on the word Milvad. Michlal, what we learn for the word Milvad, is the Kesef Baresha. The Torah is telling you that the Kesef has to come Baresha. Why is that? Because the word Milvad means Lifnei, beforehand. So the Mashmolos of the Pasuk is that the Karen Amushav Lashem El HaKohen is Lifnei HaKrovas El HaKippurim, Milvad El HaKippurim, meaning before the El HaKippurim. Amal of Ahumi Rabbana, one of the scholars, Lerava, said to Rava, Elamiyatav, you're telling me that every time it says the word milvad, it means lifnei. If that be the case, let's look in Parshas Pinchas, in the Parsha of Musafim. And what does it say there? It says milvad olas haboker ashelo. So here the issue is, what comes first, the Musaf or the Karban Tamid? And if you take the statement of Rava as a universal principle that the word milvad always means that it tells you what comes first, hachinami michal de musafim bereisha. In other words, you read it instead of milvad, you read it as lifnei olas haboker, which means that the musaf has to be brought before the korban olas shel shachar. V'atanya, we have a braisa. Minayin shaloye dovar kodem litomit shel shachar. Does he tell you where this price is? Because it sounds like psachim to me. I'm just, did I guess that right? I'm just curious. If you don't mind, Rabbi, say this is on the side. Does it say psachim?
No?
Okay, it sounds like psachim to me. Oh, perfect. Yeah. That's the fifth parak of psachim, and that parak is dedicated to the laws of kedima, meaning which karbanas come first. And there's a mishnah also in zvachim about the laws of kedima. But the Gemara establishes there, based on a drasha, that the first carbon of the day that opens up the work day in the Beis HaMikdash is got to be the carbon tamid shel shachar. Minayin shelo yei davar. Nothing should be brought on the Mizbeach kodem litamid shel shachar. And how do we know this? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, I'll read to you the whole Pasuk, this is in Vayikra Vav, I think we'll read it this Shabbos. Ubir aleha koin eitzim baboker baboker vi orach aleha ha'ola vi amar rav, and rav says ha'ola, which is a reference to the tamid, the carbon tamid is ola rishona. In other words, the Torah here in this pasuk is going out of its way to say vi orach aleha ola means that the ola should be the first carbon. So the word milvad could not possibly mean lifnei, as if to say that the carbon musaf is brought before the carbon tamid. That's impossible. Amalei, so Rav answers, I know you misunderstood me. I wasn't meaning to interpret the pasuk based on the word milvad. That wasn't the key word. But rather, I know I was deriving it from me'asher yechaper bo nafkale. Va'adayin lo kiper. It says me'asher yechaper bo in the pasuk. So let's go back to the pasuk. It says ha'osham ha'mushav l'ashem l'koim milvad el ha'kipurim asher yechaper bo. And asher yechaper bo means that he already has achieved a kapara, we'll call it a mikzas kapara, before he brought the karbon. And how is that possible? It must mean to say that he already paid his money to the Kohen, and he hasn't yet received the full kapara. He's only started and begun the process. Now the Osham is going to come after the Kesef to complete the process. So the Pasuk Asher, what is it? Asher Yechaper Bo means the following, that meaning that the El HaKippurim will now be able to engender and generate a kapara because he's already brought the karbon, he's already paid the first asha, meaning the keren v'chomash. Now the Mishnah says nosan lo asa keren. If he gave the keren but he didn't give the chomesh, ein hachomesh mi'akev. Okay, now we have a discussion here about me'ila. If a person misappropriates mamon shel hegdesh, or he takes the reshus, the mamon of hegdesh, out of hegdesh's possession, if he does a b'shogeg, then he has to pay a keren v'chomesh. That's called karbon asham me'ila. That's written in the pasuk at the end of Parashas Vayikra, where it says nefesh ki simol mal. V'chato b'shkogu mikodshi Hashem ve'evis Hashem al Hashem el tomim minatzon b'erkecha kesef shkolim b'shekel hakodesh li osham v'es asher chato min hakodesh yishal v'es chamishoso yosef olav v'nosan oso lakoi v'akon yichapro olav v'el ha'osham v'nislach lo. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, minayin shim hevi me'iloso, he brought his carbon me'ila for being moel be'egdish b'shogeg, v'lo hevi es ashamo, and he hasn't brought minayin shim hevi me'iloso, it means he paid up the keren, v'lo hevi ashamo, he hasn't yet brought the carbon, or alternatively, ashamo v'lo hevi me'iloso, shalo yotza, talmud lomar, be'el ha'osham v'nislach lo, that from the pasuk you see that he needs both the payment of the keren, which is called me'ila, keren, and he also has to bring his osham in order to achieve kapara for this negligence in misappropriating the mammon of hegdesh. Uminayin says the Brisa Shimhevi Ashamat Shalo Hevi Miloso Shalo Yotza. And how do we know that Mi'ila has to be paid up to Karen first, and only then he can bring the Asham? If he reverses the order, he brings the Asham before he paid the Mi'ila to Hegdesh, then the carbon is not Olalo. Very similar to what we've discussed until now, but guess I'll get Hamid Lomar, Bi'el Ha'asham. Ha'asham Bikvar. In other words, he's already paid up his Karen. Yochel, I might think, Kishem, She'el, She'ail, the Osham, Akvim. There's no kapar without both the korban and the payment to the me'il of the Karen. Kach, Chomesh, Mi'akim. So too, there's no kapara for the Chomesh. I'm saying without paying up the Chomesh. Talmud Lomar, Bi'el, Ha'osham, V'nislach, Lo. And the Gemara is making a diuk here, a mute. Ayil v'yosham mi'akvim. When does he get v'nislach lo? That's when he hasn't brought the ayil and he hasn't paid the yosham, meaning the keren, the hegdish. But v'ein chomesh mi'akev. So the Gemara says that at the end of the brisa, since the kapara of the moel in hegdish depends, like in the case of Gezel Ager, on paying the Karen, and only then can he bring his karma. Why can't we discuss and derive conclusions about the law of Moel Behegdesh from the case of Gezel Ager? And Gezel Ager is called in the Lashon HaBraisa Hejot, as opposed to Moel Behegdesh, because he didn't steal any Hegdesh, he stole from the Ger. Behejot Mehegdesh. And then we can establish within this equation to derive Gozel Asager Mimoel Behegdesh. And this is clear from the end of the Braisa that says Hegdesh Mihejot. How do we derive Hegdesh from Hejot? Ma Asham Dehasam Karen. Just like in the case of Gezel Ager, which is called Hejot, the Karen is Likuva. Correct? The Karen is Likuv, otherwise the Asham is meaningless. Af Asham Dahacha, so to hear, in the case of someone who is Moel Behegdesh, the Karba Me'ila is not enough to generate Kapara, but rather you need Karen. The Karen, the Hejot, Mehegdesh, and now we can derive a conclusion from Hegdesh. Ma Hegdesh, Ein Chomesh Me'akev. We have this Drasha from the pasuk be'el hashem v'nislach lo el hashem akvim, but ein achomish mi'akiv is af hejot. So too in the case of gozel ager nami ein chomish mi'akiv. So in other words, you know, when we go back to the beginning of asugya, the gemara asks minayin, how do we know that nasan es akeren v'lo nasan es achomish? Nevertheless, the kapara of the hashem on behalf of the gazlan is meaningful, and the answer is we're going to derive that conclusion from Hegdesh, meaning from Moel Behegdesh. In Moel Behegdesh, we have an explicit drasha which teaches us that Chomesh is not Me'akev, and we're going to derive the conclusion of Hejot as well, that in Gezel Ager, the Chomesh is not Me'akev. Hadron Alecha HaGozel Eitzim, Hadron Alecha HaGozel Eitzim. And then we get to the 10th perek of Mesechta Baba Kama, which is HaGozel U'Machel. We'll just read the Mishnah very quickly. That's the Minug. When you make a Siyum, you start the next Limud. HaGozel U'Machel Esbonav V'niach Lifneim Pturim Milashalim V'mhoye Dover Sheish Boach Rayis Chayovim Lishalim. So we're talking about a Gazlan who steals food and he doesn't use it for himself, but he gives it to his sons to use, or he dies and they inherit it. Is, do the children have to pay for the father's gzela? If they ate up the gzela, pturin milashalim, they didn't do the gzela, and therefore they're not chayv for the gzela of their father. But imhaya dover sheyesh bo achrayus, but if it was, let's say, something like karka that was stolen, then chayovim, even the yarshim, have to pay despite the fact that they weren't guilty of the gzela, and that's going to be a din of kvod aviem, which we're going to derive in Mutz Hashem as we learn B'li Neder, the 10th parak. I want to thank you all for coming, and I wish you all a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. We'll resume, what is it, the Tuesday after Pesach?